Tonight we are going to be learning. Tonight we are going to be learning Daf Vav.
Recording starting.
Hey, Margo. How you doing? Welcome. Tonight we're going to you're on the recording. That's it. Tonight we're going to be learning Daf Vav, Sukkah Daf Vav. We last time we learned Sukkah Daf Hey, and although you took the quiz and you therefore probably don't care what it says on Daf Hey anymore, let's quickly review what it actually does say on Daf Hey. One thing we learned about on Daf Hey was that the Ribbono Shel Olam never goes below 10 Tefachim, and Moshe Rabbeinu nor Eliyahu HaNavi was ever able to go above 10 Tefachim. We have no idea what that means, but we know that that's the number that the Gemara told us. And the Aron was 10 Tefachim high. Moshe grabbed the throne that was brought within 10 Tefachim, and that's how he was able to grab onto the Kisei. The Kisei was brought right at the edge of 10 Tefachim, wherever that is, and Moshe was able to grab onto it. That was point number one that we learned in Daf A. Number two, we learned that the Kapores, anyone remember what the Kapores is? Tani? The covering of the Aron, right? The lid over the Aron was how thick? Was how thick? That's okay. It's distracting. Was one tefach thick? Exactly. It was one tefach high, and we learned that from the misgeret. We do not learn it from the tzitz because the tzitz was only a tachshit. We do not learn it from the zer because the zer was only a hechsher kli. And both the tzitz and the zer don't have explicit measurements in the Torah. Only the miskeret has an explicit measurement in the Torah. So that's how we know the kaporas was a tefach, learned from the miskeres. Fine. Then on Daf Hayamid Beis we said, the kaporas, the fact that the kaporas is a tefach, can also be derived from pnei. The word that pnei hakaporas is used in the Torah, and the word pnei is used by what else? Who remembers? Where else do we have pnei? The Kruvim, exactly, the two angelic cherubic figures on top of the Aron, and the Kruvim, the face was one tefach. So we learned that the Kaporis was also one tefach. Number two on Daf Hayamid Beis, we learned that a Kruv means, by definition, a baby face, exactly, and we know that because in Bavel, back in Babylonia, they used to always call babies Ravya, exactly. So it's like ki Ravya, like a Ravya, like a baby. Third thing we learned, and this is, I think, the last thing that we did, was that the 10 Tefachim of the Sukkah has to be the airspace of the Sukkah. It does not include the Schach, right? So that cannot be derived from the Aron itself. Rather, it's derived from the Kruvim. The wings of the Kruvim were hovered above the Kapores, above the lid of the Aron, with a 10 Tefach airspace between the wings, the tips of the wings, and the top of the Kapores. This is the segue into this week's daf, is the Gemara said maybe the way we know that a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim is none of these things at all. It has absolutely nothing to do with the aron, nothing to do with the kruvim, nothing to do with the kaporis. All of that, as we said last week, the way the Gemara ends up, you might as well rip out the whole page, because all of it has nothing to do with the sukkah whatsoever. It doesn't even belong in the Masechta. How do we know a sukkah is 10 tefachim? What do we say at the end? Because the Gemara said there, you should know that there are certain entire areas of halacha that are all halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Those areas of halacha are, did we do this last time? Three areas of halacha that are halacha l'moshe m'sinai. They are, number one, shiurim. What does shiurim mean? The size of anything, like a kezias of matzah or anything else? Ten tefachim is a mechitzin, but anything, any kogrogros that you for the Yisra of Yom Kippur, for eating on Yom Kippur, any shear that you have in the whole Torah, kebetza, any shear that you have in the whole Torah, that's all halachal moshe misinai. Meaning, how do I know that I don't have to eat a kebetza matzah? How do I know that it's supposed to be a kazayasa matzah? Right, so all of that is halachal moshe misinai. The second area of halacha that's halachal moshe misinai, what is chatzitza? Good. When a person goes into the mikvah, or a kli goes into the mikvah, you ever run an errand of doing tvilas kelim when your parents buy new dishes or whatever? What do you always have to make sure? That you remove all stickers from the kli. Why do you have to remove the stickers from the kli? Because they are chatzitza between the kli and the water. So you need to remove them to make sure the water hits everything. Similarly, a person. Person goes into the mikvah, they should not be wearing, scuba gear. Because if they do so, there's going to be a major chatzitza between them and the water. So it has to be that whole area of halacha. What kind of halacha? It's one halacha, isn't it? There shouldn't be anything interposing between you and the, what do you mean, area of halacha? Anyone familiar with this? Good, because we're going to learn it today. Chatzitzin, the area of halacha, chatzitzin is the, there are a lot of details. How much is a chatzitza? Very often a person will come back from the mikveh, they'll call their rabbi and they'll say, for instance, I found a speck of nail polish at the very edge of my fingernail. Is that a chatzitza? So what do you do? Is that or is that not a chatzitza? So these are questions that there are a whole set of detailed laws in regard to chatzitza. And the third area of halacha, that's halacha l'moshe misinai, is most related to us and to our mesechta, mechitzin. Mechitza, the laws of not mechitza neshul. That there is no explicit gemara actually that talks about the laws of mechitza neshul. That's why you have so many machlokasim in the more recent poskim about it. But it's the impression you get is that women used to just not go to shul. But there was in the Beis HaMikdash, they had a balcony. They had the gemara at the end of Sukkah says they built a balcony for the women. It's from that gemara at the very end of Masech HaSukkah that we derive that you need a mechitza in a shul. But we're not talking about that. It's not about the mechitza in the shul. It is about what? What other laws of mechitza are there other than mechitza in the shul? We didn't do this last time. It's about mechitzas of a sukkah, mechitzas of an eruv, when you build an eruv, or mechitzas of a rishus hayachad. That's say you don't want to have an eruv, you want to have a house. So what's called a house? It's got to have four walls. So what's called a wall? The halachos of what's called a wall are all halacha l'moshe misinai. So we are picking up now starting this year. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 lines from the bottom of the page where the Gemara says, major concept, shiurin chatzitzin u'mechitzin, halacha l'moshe misinai. Shiurin chatzitzin u'mechitzin, those three areas of halacha are all halacha l'moshe misinai. I don't remember if we highlighted this last time, but that is a main point. Main point number 4 is that shiurin chatzitzin mechitzin are all halacha l'moshe misinai. So the Gemara is going to start challenging this. We're going to challenge one by one, but we're going to start with shiurim. Do you really mean to suggest shiurim are halacha l'moshe misinai? Asks the Gemara. Halacha l'moshe misinai implies that it is not written anywhere in the Torah, that it's only given to us through oral tradition, God speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, telling him these laws, and not through any sort of pasuk. So the Gemara says, so here we are, 6 lines from the bottom. Shiurin doraisa ninhu. Shiurim are an halacha l'moshe misinai. They are absolutely a din doraisa. You know how I know? Tichsiv, because the pasuk says, listen to the pasuk. Eretz, it describes Eretz Yisrael, and it describes Eretz Yisrael with the following words. Chita, wheat. Sa'ora, what's sa'ora? Barley. Gefen, grapes or wine. Te'ena, figs. Rimon, Eretz, the land is also, the Gemara in Brachos learns a lot from that insertion of the extra word Eretz in there. Yishal's not here, but he would tell us exactly what the Gemara learns. But Eretz, Zeis, what's Zeis? Olive, Shemen, Tvash, honey. So those are the 7 things that Eretz Yisrael is praised as being abundant in. So says the Gemara, don't you see? Those are shiurim right there all over the place. Huh? No, those are 7 nice things that... good foodstuffs. What does that have to do with shiurim? So the Gemara explains. V'amar avchanin kala pasuk hazeh l'shiurin ne'amar. Every word in that pasuk, save the word eretz that appears twice, every other word in that pasuk besides for the word eretz has to do with a shiur. Has to do about teaching us a shiur of something. How so? So let's take one by one. Chita, first item mentioned in that pasuk. Wheat. What does wheat teach us? What kind of shear is there relating to wheat? Labayis hamenuga. Important concept. Bayis hamenuga. Anyone have any clue what a bayis hamenuga is? Good. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Shimon? Okay. A bayis hamenuga is a house that has thrust. I have nothing against art school. It's just like, don't raise your hand, I'm not smart. There was a guy that came to my daf yomi for a whole week reading the footnotes of the art school. But you know, what about asking me all the questions? Like, read the answer, you have it. So the bayis hamenuga, what's a bayis hamenuga? A house that has tzaraas. So the halacha is, when you walk into a house that has tzaraas, you become tamei. But how long do you have to stay there in order to become Tameh? If you walk in and run right out, you're there for a millisecond, do you become Tameh? So there's a Mishnah about this. In the course of that Mishnah, the amount of time that determines that you're Tameh or that something about you is Tameh is going to be determined based on wheat, somehow. So how does that play out? Tonight we have a Mishnah. This Mishnah appears in Maseches Negaim. as you would expect. Perek Yud Gimel Maseches Negayim, it says on the side of the page. Negayim is all about Saras. Had Nichnas Labayis Hamanuga, a guy goes into a house that has Saras, V'kelov Al Ksefav, and he has clothing wrapped around his shoulders, V'sandola V'taba'osav Biyado, and he has shoes and rings in his hand, not on his hand. Meaning, what's unique about wearing, what's the point the Mishnah is trying to teach you if he's saying that he has clothing wrapped around his shoulders, rings and shoes in his hand? What do all those three things have in common in the way it's described, Avi?
Not creating a separation.
Why would that be the case? I don't think that's the case, but what...
He's not
going to
hit the house.
It's not going to hit the house? Maybe I'm not asking this clearly. What do you normally do with shoes? Put them on your feet. What do you normally do with rings? Put them on your fingers, or in your ears, or in your nose, or whatever, wherever other creative places people might put them. But that's what you do with them normally, right? This person is holding his shoes, he's holding his rings. What do you do with your clothing? You wear them. You don't just wrap it over your shoulder. So he's holding all of these things that are very normal for a person to hold, but he's holding them in a very unconventional way. The conventional way is to hold them by wearing them. So he's holding them in a very unconventional way. So says the Mishnah, the halacha is, hu vehein tmei and miyad. As soon as he walks in with those things, all of those things, and he become tamei immediately. There is no shear. There's no amount of time he needs to stay there. So we haven't found our halacha of wheat yet. So what's our halacha of wheat? Hayalavush kelav v'sandal v'braglav. Let's say he's wearing his clothing. Oh, that's very original. V'sandal v'braglav, and he's wearing his shoes on his feet. V'taba'osav be'etzba'osav, and he's wearing his rings on his fingers. Hu tamei miyad. So now he becomes tamei right away. V'hein tahorim ad sheyishah, but they are going to be tahor until he stays in the house long enough. Yisha means to delay, to wait. Until he waits or delays in the house long enough, b'kdei achilas pras pas chitin velo pas sa'orin. The amount of time it would take a person, an average person, to eat a pras, which is a certain amount, of pas, what kind of bread? Chitin, wheat bread. Apparently, different kinds of bread you could digest or chew quicker or slower. Wheat bread can be chewed a lot quicker than barley bread, because barley bread tastes disgusting and is much coarser, is much harder. Wheat bread, apparently, is much finer. So pras pas chitin, the amount of time it takes a normal person to eat a pras of wheat bread. Let's assume, we normally assume is somewhere between 4 and 9 minutes, that shear. Kedei achilas pras is what we call it for short. But kedei achilas pras really means kedei achilas pras pas chitin. The amount of time it takes to eat a pras of wheat bread. The Mishnah gives some more details about this eating. Velo pas sa'orin, but not barley bread, because that would take longer. Mesav, if you're sitting back and relaxing. Va'ochel beliftan, and you're eating it with something that goes along with the bread. You're not eating a plain, you're eating it together with tuna fish, or something that makes it go down a little bit easier. That's the amount of time, we're not talking about someone who's actually eating, it's that amount of time that you need to be in the house before what becomes tamei? Your clothing, your shoes, your rings, before all those things become tamei, that's how long you have to be in the house. So what do we see from there? We see that chita is really about a shear. If the word chita is really about a shear, and the word chita appears in where? The Torah. So that tells us that this shear of chita is not a lach l'moshe m'sinai. It's right there in the Torah. You just have to know how to read it. It's right there in the Torah. Donnie.
Aren't there more direct measurements that you would use chita for? Isn't there something if it's the house is filled with wheat, up to a ledge or something?
That's not a measurement in chita. That would be a measurement in the house.
This is the most direct measurement that you find in chita?
It seems that way. That relates dafka to chita. Yeah. Meaning we talk about eating, let's say, matzah that's made out of chitin, but the shear is a kezayis. So that's going to be the zayis shear. So this is the only thing that's actually measured by a chita. Yeah, as far as I know. It sounds a little... far-fetched and strange, but that's true. Effie?
This is a din d'oraisa?
That's what the Gemara is suggesting, that yes, this is a din d'oraisa, and it's learned from that word in the Pasuk. It's for sure a din d'oraisa. The question is it halach l'moshe m'sinai, or is it from that word in the Pasuk? Halach l'moshe m'sinai is also d'oraisa. So the Gemara is saying it's learned from that word in the Pasuk, it's not halach l'moshe m'sinai. So that's the Gemara's challenging.
The situation that the guy's in the house with the clothing.
Real din d'oraisa. Yeah, we're not used to these things because we don't have these things. Right? We don't have tzaras.
Why did you specify that it's wheat bread and not barley bread?
So apparently, because the shear would be different. If it was barley bread, it would take longer to eat.
Say, but why does he single out barley bread? Why not? My
guess is that if you don't have wheat, that would be your next best thing to use. And the truth is, he could have picked any of the chamesh saminim where you can make bread out of a lot of, you know, out of other things, spelt and rye and, you know, all the other things that, whatever they are, you know, so oats. So it's actually very relevant in terms of when you, people who have wheat allergies, they have to eat matzah. So what do they use for matzah? They got to use one of the other grains. So you're right. It's a lot of dafka sa'orim, but I guess it's just highlighting that sa'orim takes longer to eat. That's a good point. Yeah.
This isn't like the classic case of shirin, which is like you have to eat a kazai, so you have to eat a kibitza, which is what you have to eat is directly related to the size of something else. This is the time it would take you to
yes.
eat that thing.
It's a little more distant. Right. Correct. Yeah. Still. Gemara thinks it's all right. So last question, we got to get moving.
Just because it says the word thinking, you can learn this whole thing out and say that we don't.
Right, so the Gemara is going to eventually say, come on. we say every single morning, in davening, there are Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah and Dreshes Pehen. Which means there are 13 ways to derive laws from the Torah. Which of those ways says, take a word and build a whole story around that word, purely out of whole cloth, out of your own imagination, and then say, ah, you see, I got it in that word. Torah says, los yirtzach, kill. That means that you're supposed to kill on Tuesdays, and you're not. You can't just build a whole story out of something, one word that appears in the Torah. So we're going to get to that. That's true. But now the Gemara is assuming that this is legitimate, that this is a real drasha. Says Gemara, Viter. What's the next word in the pasuk that we're dashing? All has to do with shiurim, saora. So what has to do with saora? Ditnan. This is an easier one. Etzen kisaora, a bone the size of a barley. Mitame bimaga ubimasa. A lot of concepts. This is a concept laden few lines. Etzen kisaora means a bone the size of barley. Mitame bimaga can make someone tame. What's maga? By touching it. Ubimasa, and by
carrying
it. How could something, isn't that repetitive? If I'm carrying it, aren't I by definition touching it? So the answer is, let's say right now, I am carrying my BlackBerry. I am not touching it, but I'm carrying it. Why? Because, voila, it's right there in the pocket of the jacket, right? So that's called masa without maga. So if you carry something in a bag, if you carry an etzem kisora in a bag, you become tame. Or if you touch an etzem kisora, a bone the size of barley, you become tame. But veinu matame ba'ohel, being in the same room as an etzem kisora does not make you tame. It's not being in the same room, but touching or carrying. This is the din, we discussed this in Shir once, I think. Remember I told you the dental shaila I had, right? The dentist that used human bones for implants. So a Cohen has to ask the dentist before he goes, hey, you have any bones around the office? If he does, so the truth is, shouldn't be metame ba'ohel if it's only the size of sa'ura, but it will be metame b'maga u'bimasa. Will be metame if the dentist tries to put it in the Cohen's mouth. So fine, so that's the shear that we see. It relates to sa'ura. So you see, the second word of the pasuk is about a shear. Geffen. Where is there a shear of geffen, of grapes or wine? Could they revius yayin the nazir? A nazir is not allowed to drink wine or grape juice or any grape products. How much is he not allowed to drink? A revius of yayin. So that is a shear relating to wine. Now that's a strange one, because the shear doesn't relate to wine. The product relates to wine. So that's an unusual one. Okay. Thank God it's Bikis, because I don't know the answer. Next one, te'ena. What's the next word in the pasuk? Te'ena, a fig. Where do we have a shear of figs? There, you might not be familiar with this, you grew up with Erevin. There is an Isser in the Torah to actually carry outside on Shabbos, right? So there was once a Jewish tradition that some people didn't carry on Shabbos. So back in those days, in Elizabeth, New Jersey, they take down the Erev one Shabbos every year, just to remind people that there's still such a concept of an Isser to carry, and the whole town empties out for that Shabbos. No one stays home. But there is such a concept. How much do you have to carry in order to be in violation obligation of carrying on Shabbos. So the shear is a grogros, the size of a fig. If you're carrying, let's say you find a little lint in your pocket, so is that carrying on Shabbos? No, that wasn't carrying. That's just something that's much smaller than a grogros. So you see, that too is a shear. Yeah, Ginsburg.
You said Nazir can't drink a revius at once. Does that mean like at once? So let's say like I drink half a revius.
Yeah, it means at once, right? The question is what exactly the shear is, whether it's kadeach pras or kadeach shtias revius. It probably means all at one shot, just at one time straight. Yeah. Now, 1 second. Less than that, I'm sorry, is not mutter. It's just you won't get punished for it. We have a concept that chatzi shir asr min haTorah. If you do half of the amount of an iser, it's still asr to do. That's why we don't all take shot glasses and drink water every 10 minutes on Yom Kippur. Only if you're very sick do you do that. Why don't we all do it? It's less than the shir. I'm doing it only every 10 minutes, so that should be okay, right? No, it's asr midoraisa to do that. You're just not going to get punished for doing it. Meaning you're not going to be chayv karis for doing it. Yeah.
Doesn't it say that like you can't have like.
Right.
So
yeah, that pasuk says Geffen, so Geffen is inclusive of that.
But the din that he can't have revius, like, that's not, he
can't
have.
Oh, so you're asking a good question. What if he eats grapes? Is it a revius of grapes? Because revius is a liquid measure. Or is it a kazayit? Is that what you're asking?
Not exactly.
No? Come on, say it is. Okay, no, what were you asking?
Like, they're saying that the din is that a nazir can't have a revius, but a nazir can't have more than that.
Well, he can't even have less than that, you're saying,
yeah.
Right? But that's exactly what Ginsburg was saying. Yeah, that's true, but he's not going to get punished for less than that. That's the shoes. We got to get moving here. I'm sorry. Rimon. I'm not discriminating against guys not in my share. Really, we just need to get moving. I'm just looking at the clock. Rimon, a pomegranate. The Tanan, because we have a Mishnah. Kol clay, where do we have a shear that relates to a pomegranate? Kol clay bale batim shirun karimonim. When people have a kli, if let's say there's a hole in the kli, so then the kli is considered to be broken and it's no longer able to be makabel tuma. Now, how big a hole in a kli would make the kli considered useless? So the halacha is, if it has a hole the size of a rimon, well then it's not going to be a very effective kli for holding apples. It's not going to be a very good apple basket because things are going to keep falling through that big hole. That's when it's considered to be broken, when it has a hole the size of a rimon. So that's a shear. Eretz zeis shemen, then it talks about zeis shemen, olive oil. What shear is a kazayis? So says the Gemara, come on, too easy. Eretz shekol shiur ha-kazayis. Everything's a kazayis. Like all the yisurim in the Torah, anything you're not allowed to eat is kazayis. Anything you have a mitzvah to eat is kazayis. Kazayis is all over the place. So says the Gemara, kol shiur ha-kazayis. The Gemara is very literal. It's like, really? Every single shear is a kazayis? Heikani darminan. What about the five that we just went through that aren't a kazayis, that were a rimon and a saora and a chita? Those weren't kazayis? So the Gemara says, come on, don't take everything so literally. Ela'ema sherov shiure kazayis. And we just mean to say most of the shiurim are a kazayis. Dvash, where's there a shear of dvash, of honey? Kikoseves hagasa bioma kipurim. The dvash that the Torah speaks about is not bee honey. It is honey that comes from dates. It is the sweet nectar, whatever you would call it, that comes from dates. So the Gemara says, what does dvash have to do with? The size of a date, which is usher to eat on Yom Kippur. The size of a date, that's the amount that you're punished for on Yom Kippur. So you see, that's also a shear. Bottom line, why do we quote all of this? It's all tangential. What are we trying to prove? One thing is what we're trying to prove. That what? Shiurim are d'oraisa, they're not halacha l'moshe m'sinai. We started with the principle. Shiurim chatzitzin mechitzin are all halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Says the Gemara, wrong. Shiurim are d'oraisa. It's all there in the pasuk. Alma d'oraisa ninu, exclamation point. So says the Gemara, no, v'tizbra shiurim miksivi? Come on, it doesn't say any of those shiurim in the Torah. You made up those whole stories. That it just says one word. Ela hilchasa ninu. They're all hilchasa, which means what? Halachal Moshe Misinai, Vikra Asmachta Bialmahu. The pasuk is only Asmachta Bialma. The pasuk is a nice mnemonic to remember that there are a whole bunch of halachos that relate to those size things that are mentioned in the Torah. But the pasuk is clearly not a din. It's just an easy way to remember what the din actually is. So that's the shiurim. Main point number one, I guess, in Vavam and Aleph is, I guess, various shiurim. Okay, just know that there are various shiurim. I'm not going to. All I wrote in my Gemara is various shiurim. I was too lazy to write down what each of them are. You should just know the basic idea. I'm probably not going to ask you too many specifics about that. Probably. Number two, although there are hints to all shiurim in the Torah, since it doesn't associate the amounts with the particular halachos, meaning the Torah just gives words, it doesn't give the halachos that those words are supposed to be associated with, what does that tell you? That all these shiurim are really halach l'moshe misinai. Let me say that again slower. Although there are hints to all the shiurim in the Torah, keyword is hints to all the shiurim in the Torah, since it never associates the amounts that are mentioned in the Torah with any particular halachos, Torah just says these amounts without associating it with any particular halachos, they're all halach l'moshe misinai. Period. That's stage one. We've just proven, we tried to prove that shiurim are not halach l'moshe misinai, we failed. Shiurim are halach l'moshe misinai. Now let's move on to the next thing. What else did we say was halach l'moshe misinai? Chatzitzin. So says the Gemara, Chatzitzin, Doraisa ninhu. That's Doraisa. And this one we have a much better case for, because the Pasuk actually talks about it. The Pasuk says, Dichsiv, Verachatz, and it changes the words in the Pasuk, so you have to know, what does the Pasuk actually say? So we have these new fancy Gemaras that tell us on the side. So it says, Verachatz es bisaro b'mayim. Why does it change the words? Not clear. Verachatz es bisaro b'mayim. A person should bathe his flesh in the water. What does that tell you? If you want your flesh to be bathed in the water, you better not have a scuba diver scuba gear on, because then your flesh won't touch the water, the scuba gear will touch the water. So don't you see it's explicit in the Torah that you can't have a chatzitza, you can't have anything over your flesh when you bathe? That's not halacha l'moshe misinai. So the Gemara says, you're right. No, you're right. That's true. The fact that you can't have a chatzitza on your body, on your flesh, is a din d'oraisa. You know what the halach l'moshe misinai of chatzitza is about? That you can't have a chatzitza on your hair. The halach of the hair is halach l'moshe misinai. Kid the Rabba Bar Bar Chana, like Rabba Bar Bar Chana said. Strange name, no? Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Normally they just say what his father's name is. So they go with the son of, and then Chana. Chana was a grandfather or a grandmother? Right, sounds more like a grandmother, doesn't it? Right, Rabba Bar Bar Chana. But anyway, so it's Kid Rabba Bar Bar Chana, like Rabba Bar Bar Chana said, Domer Rabba Bar Bar Chana, because Rabba Bar Bar Chana said, Nima Achas Kshura Chutzetes. Say a woman goes to the mikvah, or a man with long hair goes to the mikvah, and he discovers that one of his hairs is tied in a knot. There was a knot from one strand that was actually tied up in a knot. So that's a chatzitza. Why is that a chatzitza? The water didn't get into where that knot is tied. The water didn't touch the whole hair. Now, that's a chatzitza. Shalosh, if you have three hairs that are tangled together, einon chatzitzos. That's not going to be a chatzitza because that's loose enough usually. Three hairs tangled together usually keeps it loose enough that water will get in. Shtayim, if two hairs are tangled together, ein yodea. Well, then I'm not sure. That's what Rabbi Barbachana says. So, but the point is, where do those halachas come from? One hair, two hairs, three hairs. So I just gave you svaras, but are those svaras very strong? Those halachas are really, what? Where do they come from? Halach l'moshe misinai. That's your chatzitzin that are halach l'moshe misinai. Ask the Gemara, no, you're not going to get me on that one. Sa'arunami daraisa ninhu. Hair is also a din daraisa, it's not halach l'moshe misinai. How do I know hair is a din daraisa? What about hair is a din daraisa? Just make sure we're still on track here. What about hair? Good, the laws of chatzitza on hair are really halach l'moshe misinai, are really daraisa, really daraisa. D'chsiv, because the pasuk says, v'rachatz es bisaro b'mayim. Pasuk doesn't say v'rachatz bisaro b'mayim, it says v'rachatz es bisaro b'mayim. The S always comes to add something. If you learn other Gemaras, it's not so obvious, Shemana Msuni, but the S probably always comes to add something. S hatafel l'bisaro. The S comes to add that which is secondary to the flesh. What is the closest thing you have to flesh that's not flesh? Hair. Right? It's external on your body, but it's attached to your body. So the closest thing you've got to flesh that isn't actual flesh is hair. So umayniyu, what is tafel to your body? Saru, it is your hair. So you see that it's from the pasuk that we derive hair. Yes?
Why can't it teach you nails then?
Good question. Good question. Perhaps hair and nails are the same din. I don't know. But it's true that you're not allowed to have a chatzitz on your nails also. That happens to be the din also. I'm not sure why that's the case. I don't know. But what's the Gemara saying now? So you see, there's no din of chatzitz that's halach l'moshe m'sinai. All the din of chatzitz are daraisa. We've just showed you. The basar is daraisa. The hair is daraisa. All of it's daraisa. Answers the Gemara, no. There's still a halach l'moshe m'sinai about chatzitz. It's Rabbi Yitzchak's din. What's Rabbi Yitzchak's din? Damar Rabbi Yitzchak. Dvar Torah, Mida Oraisa, what would constitute a chatzitza? How much of your flesh needs to be covered with something in order to be a chatzitza? Now, if you go into a mikvah with a full scuba gear, we're pretty confident that's a chatzitza. But how much of your flesh? What if there's that speck of nail polish on the nail? How much has to be covered in order for it to be a chatzitza? So Mida Oraisa, Dvar Torah, this is an important concept. Rubo umakbid alav, if it's covering the majority of your body, and it's the kind of thing you don't always want there, that sometimes you would prefer it not be there, then chotzeitz, then it's a chatzitza. Essentially, the only way something's a real chatzitza midaraisa is if it covers the majority of your body, and it's something that you're not pleased to have there at all times. Scuba gear, you like having when you go scuba diving, but you don't like having so much when you're davening shacharis. Right? So that's something that's rubo and makpid alav. A speck of nail polish on the nail, is that rubo makpid alav? No, what do you think? No, why is it not rubo makpid alav? Because it's neither. It's not rove. It's not in the majority of your body. And most people have this tiny speck that you can barely see, you're not even makbid. So essentially, in order to really have a chatzitza midaraisa, you got to take a mud bath before you go to the mikvah. You have to do something really outrageous before you go to the mikvah in order to have a real chatzitza midaraisa. One second. V'she'eno makbid alav eno chatzitz. If it's something that covers rove of your body, but you actually prefer it to be there, you want it there for whatever reason. Let's say you're a person who's very into always looking very tan, so you have some sort of cream or something that you rub over your entire body that makes you look very tan, that makes you look a different color. You're Michael Jackson, you want to look very white or whatever, so you rub it over your entire body. I don't think he didn't use creams, I would imagine. I don't know what he did, but you rub it over your entire body in order to look a different different shade than you really are. So it's something that covers the rove of your body, but you're not makbid on it, you want it there. So that's not a chatzitza midaraisa. The gazru, but the rabbanan came along and they made a gzeira al rubo she'eno makbid mishum rubo amakbid. That if it covers the majority of your body and you don't care about it being there, you're okay with it being there, the rabbanan said that's still going to be a chatzitza. Because we're afraid that if we let that go, then you're ultimately going to allow scuba gear to go also. Then you're ultimately going to allow a case where it's rove your body and you don't want it there to be okay also. And they made another gzeira. Val mi'uto ha-makbid mishamrubo ha-makbid. They made another gzeira. If it covers a minority of your body and you don't always want it there, that's also going to be a chatzitza. That's the most common one. Let's say a woman takes off her nail polish on 9 of her nails. And she forgets to take off on the 10th one. Now, if she were to go to a wedding like that, she would be mortified when she got home. Oh, my God. There was one of my nails was painted. The other 9 weren't. It's in all the pictures. Everyone saw me, right? It's something she's very makbid about. It's a miut. It's only on a minority of her body. Such a thing would be a chatzitza on what level? Daraisa or drabanan? Drabanan. Daraisa, you would need both on the majority of the body and something that you don't want. Midrabanan, it's a chatzitza if it's one or the other, either on the majority of the body or something that you don't want. Effie.
Isn't this also from the category of shear?
Good question, but apparently we view chatzitza as its own, it's a big enough category to go off as a separate. Also, there's no objective size. Every body is a different size, so it's not an objective size. Maybe that's why it's not called a shear.
So, what exactly is there again?
What?
Okay,
so let's go again. Mida oraisa, you need it to be something that covers the majority of your body, and you don't want it there, or you don't always want it there. Mida rabbanan, if you have either or. Either it covers the majority of the body, or it's something that you sometimes don't want there. That's going to be a chatzitza. What's the only possibility left that we haven't discussed? If it covers a minority of your body, and you don't care, you like it, you don't mind it being there. Is that a chatzitza? So that's the next line of the Gemara. Gemara says, I have an idea. Once we're in the mood of making chumras, so let's come up with the following one. Here's a good one. V'ligzer nami al miyuto she'ino makbid mishum miyuto makbid. Let's make a gzera that you shouldn't even be allowed to have a minority of your body covered with something that you like there. Let's say a wedding ring that a woman never ever takes off. Minority of her body. She always likes it there. She never ever takes it off. So we should make a gzera. That's a chatzitza. Because mishum miyuto makbid, lest you come to violate the din derabanan that you can't have a small thing that you do mind, or inami, or lest you come to violate mishum rubo sheino makbid, something that the din derabanan of something that covers the majority of your body that you don't mind. Meaning, we should make just like we made the first two dinim derabanan. If you have either or, if you have neither, it should be aser, lest you violate the first din derabanan. So what's the Gemara's answer going to be? What's the Gemara suggesting? We should make an gzeira midrabanan, lest you violate an earlier gzeira midrabanan. Anyone familiar with the concept that tells us we don't do that? So that's the next line of the Gemara. Says Gemara, he goof a gzeira. This itself is a gzeira. Va'anan nekum v'nigzar gzeira l'gzeira. You think we're going to get up and make a gzeira on a gzeira? That much we're not going to do. What? In Shavuos, we had Gzeira L'Gzeira in Shavuos. Wow, Shavuos is like a rough memory for me. I don't know. Okay, it was very traumatic. Okay, Gzeira L'Gzeira in what? Very takanta l'takanta. Excellent. Okay, so here you have Gzeira L'Gzeira. We don't do Gzeira L'Gzeira. Main point number one. Halacha l'Moshe Misinai of Chatzitza is not about the flesh, it's not about the hair. What's it about? How much is a chatzitza? The halacha l'moshe misinai of chatzitza, where did this din d'oraisa come from? That it's got to be a majority of your body and you don't want it there. What's the Gemara saying? That din d'oraisa came from halacha l'moshe misinai. That's the chatzitza that's halacha l'moshe misinai. The din that it has to cover the majority of your body and you don't want it there, that's halacha l'moshe misinai. If you have one or the other, majority and you do want it there, or minority and you don't want it there, then it's going to be drabanan. If you have neither a majority nor something that you care about, so then it's okay. Then it's totally mutter. It's not even midrabanan, because that would be gzera l'gzera. So classic multiple choice question. I wrote the test 3 months ago. I have no idea if I actually did this, but a classical question that I would write, because whenever there are three right choices, it's very easy to make a four-choice, multiple-choice test question. Question would always be something like, which of the following is not a chatzitza at all? Rubo makbid, rubo she'eno makbid, miura makbid, miya che'eno makbid. So, which one is not a chatzitza at all? Miya che'eno makbid, right? It's a minority of the body, and you're not makbid, you don't mind it there. So that would be the one that's not a chatzitza at all. Okay, so now what's the third? We said three things. We started tonight. We started 40 minutes ago by saying that there are three things that are halacha l'moshe misinai. Shiurin, chatzitzin, and mechitzin. We challenged on shiurin from that pasuk that had all the seven things, and we said, wrong. That's still halacha l'moshe misinai. We challenged on chatzitzin based on pesukim that talk about chatzitza, and we said, no, there's still part of chatzitza that's halacha l'moshe misinai. What's left to challenge? Mechitzin, says Gemara, Mechitzin Hadiamran. What's the Mechitza that's halacha l'moshe misinai? Well, it's what we just spoke about, just being a daf ago. What did we speak about? What Mechitza is halacha l'moshe misinai? What Mesachta are we learning? The 10th Fachim of a Sukkah. That's the Mechitza, it's halacha l'moshe misinai. Says the Gemara, Hanich al Rabbi Yehuda el Rameir Ma'ikel Meimar. That works really well. Now you have to remember a little bit from last week. If you assume like Rabbi Yehuda, who's the one that needed to say that the mechitz of a sukkah is halacha l'moshe misinai, but Rabbi Meir, who held, and if this brings back memories for a second, Rabbi Meir who held that the amos with which we measure kalim and the amos with which we measure the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash are the same kinds of amos, he didn't need halacha l'moshe misinai. He was fine without halacha l'moshe misinai about sukkah. He was able to learn the 10 tefachim of sukkah from where? This is why we always review the last week's daf. He was able to derive it from where? from the Kruvim's wings, the space between the wings of the Kruvim and the lid on the Aron. So what's he going to say? Where's there a mechitza that's halach l'Moshe Misinai? Answers the Gemara, three of the most important words in the whole Masech that's going to be coming up in the next 10 dapim. Ki asai hilchasa, you know what halach l'Moshe Misinai is about? Here are the three words. It wasn't ki asai hilchasa. The three words are the following. Legud, v'lovud, v'dovenakuma. Okay, give me three. So it's good, lovud, three concepts. And dofen akuma. The idea of good is the following. Good asa mechitza. We had this ready? We had it earlier. No, we didn't? Good asa mechitza is, let's say, here this is 10 tefachim high, right?
Yeah.
If I'm standing on it, it's considered that I'm surrounded by walls. Because even though it stops here, we view it as if it continues straight up. That's good asa mechitza. Right?
Yeah.
Lovud, what's lovud? If you have an airspace, an open space that's less than three tefachim of air, it's considered as if it's closed. It's not considered to be an open space. So if you have a break in your schach that's two tefachim, it's fine. It's considered as if it's closed. Break in your wall of two tefachim, it's fine. Dofen akuma. Did we do dofen akuma?
Yeah.
Right? Dofen akuma is where we have to bend the walls. Let's say there's schach pasul at the edge of your sukkah. The wall, then schach pasul, then schach kasha. We bend the wall. Pretend that the wall is bent over past the schach pasul. Up until how much?
Four
amos. Very good. Good, love it, and dofen akuma. Those are the halachos of Moshe Misinai that are really about mechitza. Next, says the Gemara. We learned the Mishnah on that base. The Mishnah said that a sukkah has to have how many walls? Three. A sukkah that does not have three walls is pasul. Shein la shalosh tefanos. If it doesn't have three walls, it's pasul. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabban, we have a brisa. How big do these three walls have to be? So shtayim kilchasan, the first two walls have to be as big as they're really supposed to be, which is how big? What's the minimum size of a sukkah? 10 tefachim high, but what's the length of the walls?
7
tefachim, right? It needs to be 7 by 7 tefachim. Kilchasan also means they're perpendicular to each other, not parallel to each other. They touch each other, they're on a right angle. So it's shtayim kilchasan. Ushlishis afilu, this is a warm-up for the geometry we're going to be doing in a couple of dapim from now. Ushlishis afilu tefach. And then the third wall only has to be one tefach. That's the Tanakhama. That's the shtayim kilchasan. You see, Rashi says, in case you're wondering what a right angle looks like, there you have it, right angle. Okay? Rashi was an artist. So the first sheet is two perpendicular to each other. The third one could be a tefach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, shalosh kilchasan revias afilu tefach. No, you need three real regular walls, and then the fourth one could be just a tefach. Ask the Gemara, b'may kamiflugi, what are they arguing about? Meaning, where in the Torah do they find reference to any of these numbers of walls? So says the Gemara, we're going to suggest, get ready for this, five possibilities about what they're arguing about. Five possibilities between here and the end of the daf, in the next 14 minutes, about what they're arguing about. Five possibilities. We're not going to have time for questions. I'm sorry, we'll take questions after. Five possibilities, what they're arguing about. Possibility number one, Rabbanan Savri, key concept, Yesh Eim L'Misores. V'Rabbi Shimon Savar, Yesh Eim L'Mikra. The Rabbanan hold that whenever you have a word in the Pasuk that's a Kriya Miksiv, it's written a certain way, but pronounced a different way. Which way do we darshan it? Which way should we learn halachos out of it? The way it's written or the way it's pronounced? So the Rabbanan hold, Yesh Eim L'Misores, which means the way it's written. The Misora is the way it's written. Rabbi Shimon holds, what? We'll get to it. Rabbi Shimon holds, Yesh Eim L'Mikra. That we darshan a pasuk the way it's read, it's pronounced, not the way it's written. How does that play out? How does that lead? As Ezra asks, what does that have to do with two walls, three walls? It's as follows. Rabbanan Savri Yeshem L'Masaris. Rabbanan say, we're interested in the way the word is written, and guess what? The word basu kos appears in the pasuk three times, but two out of the three times, it's without a vav. It says basu kas is the way it would be pronounced if you read it, if you pronounced it the way it was read. But it's really basukos, basukos, basukos. But two out of those three times, it's missing a vav. What's the difference between sukos and sukas? Sukos is plural, sukas is singular. So sukas, sukas, sukos is a total of how many?
Three.
Sukas, sukas is two. Sukos is a minimum of another two, which is?
Four.
Right? So he says, harikan arba. So we start with four. But dal chad legufei, one of those times it just has to be telling us the word sukkah. We got to have the word sukkah in the pasuk. So one doesn't count. The first one doesn't count. How many are left? Pashlu tlasi, you have three left. So what are the? How do you configure those three walls? Shtayim kilchasa, two perpendicular to each other. Vasai hilchasa, and the halacha the Moshe Misina comes along. The garisal shlishis v'ukma tefach, and tells you that the third wall could be much smaller. It only needs to be a tefach. But the three walls, the fact that it only needs three walls total, it's in the pasuk, as long as you darsh in the pasuk the way it's spelled, not the way it's pronounced. Rabbi Shimon says, I don't care how it's spelled, I want to know how it's pronounced. How are all three pronounced? Pasukos, pasukos, pasukos. What does that lead you to? Sukos is two. Another sukos? Four. How about that? Another sukos? Six. You're going to take away one of those, Lugufe, which is going to lead you with how many? Two times? Two, which is four, right? It's going to, if you take away one of those basukoses, you're left with four. So it's going to be a total of four walls. Halach l'moshe misinai comes, takes that fourth wall, and shrinks it to a tefach. So let's just see it in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Savar, Yeshem l'mikra. We care about how it's pronounced. Basukos, basukos, basukos. Harikan sheish. Your starting point is six. Dalchat kralugufei, but one of those words has to be taken away out of the cheshbon, pashuluhu arba, which leaves you with a remainder of four. Shalosh kilchasan, and that teaches you need three regular, asayil, savagaris alarvius, vukamta tefach. And the halach l'moshe misinai tells you that the fourth one is only a tefach. That is the first possibility of what the machlokas is about. Why would one shita say two plus a little, and the other one say three plus a little? It's all about Yesh aim the mikra, yesh aim the mesoras. God willing, one day you're going to learn Masech Sanhedrin, probably next year if my vote wins. We're going to learn Masech Sanhedrin, and one of the first sugyas of Masech Sanhedrin is the sugya of yesh aim the mikra, yesh aim the mesoras. We're not going to start with the first parak anyway, but you're going to want to finish the Masechta. Yesh aim the mikra, it's a very, very critical sugya. Number two, second possibility, viba yisema, or maybe no. Dekuli alma yesh aim the mikra. Everyone holds, we care about the way we pronounce it, and therefore really, how many walls should a sukkah have? Six. Well, we take away one legufe, so how many walls should it really have? Four, right? V'hach abakum, if you know what they're arguing about? Mar savar schacha bayikra, umar savar schacha lo bayikra. Do you count the schach as one of the walls that we're talking about? That's what they're arguing about. Everyone agrees the pasuk tells us about four walls, but the schach might count as one of them. If the schach counts as one of them, then you're left with three. If the schach doesn't count as one of them, then you need four. So that's the second possibility, what they're arguing about. Third possibility, vi'i bayisema, dekulei alma yeshem l'mesores. Everyone really holds the other way. How do we darshan psukim? What does yeshem l'mesores mean? Who remembers? We're interested on what? The way it's written, the way it's spelled. And really that should mean that how many walls should a sukkah have? Three in total. Yeshem l'mesores, that's three. So what are they arguing about? How could one guy say it needs four? V'hacha b'hacha miflagi. Over here, this is what they're arguing about. Everyone agrees, halacha l'moshe misinai does something with the last wall. You know what they're arguing about? The Torah tells you about three walls. Does halacha l'moshe misinai add an extra wall? Or does it take the last of those walls that the Torah told us about and shrink it? That's what they're arguing about. Mar savar ki asai hilchasa l'gara. One opinion holds that the halach l'moshe misinai comes to shrink the last wall. Umar savar ki asai hilchasa lahosif. And the other one says that the halach l'moshe misinai comes to tell you, no, not only do you need what it says in the Torah, add another one. Add another wall that's a tefach. So everyone holds that the Torah tells us about three. So the question is, do we shrink the last one or do we add another one? That is possibility number three of what they argue about. How many did I say we're going to have? Five, right? Possibility number four. Viba Yisema, another possibility. Dekule Alma, everybody agrees. Ki asoi hilchasa lagara. That the halacha l'moshe misinai always comes. What's lagara? To shrink the last wall. V'yeshem l'misores. And how do we darshan psukim based on? What's misores? The way it's written. Where should that leave us? The way it's written was three walls. And halacha l'moshe misinai shrinks it. That should leave us with two plus a little bit, right? So what do they argue? How could there be an opinion that holds three plus a little bit? Ah, here's what they're arguing about. V'hacha b'darshan t'chilos k'miflagi. They're arguing about whether that idea is true, that we knock one of those psukim out. Remember, how did we arrive at the number 3? We said sukkah, sukkah, sukkos equals 4, but knock one out. What do you mean knock one out? Not everyone agrees that you just knock one out. They argue whether darshan tchilos. Do you darshan the first time a word appears also? Mar savar darshan tchilos. Umar savar ein darshan tchilos. One opinion says we darshan tchilos. We darshan the first time it says. And one opinion says we don't darshan the first time it says. And now finally, and with this, this will be the last thing we do before I list you the last main point, which is a long one. Rav Masna Amar, the fifth explanation of the machlokas. Ta'amei de Rabbi Shimon mehacha. Rabbi Shimon's reasoning, and this doesn't really explain both sides, it only explains one side of the machlokas. Rabbi Shimon, who holds what? What did Rabbi Shimon say? How many do you need? 3 plus a little, which is like close to 4. You need the, he darshans from the following. V'suka tia l'tzel yomam mechorev ulemachso l'mister mizarem umimatar. That the sukkah should provide you with ample protection from the sun, from wind, from rain, and a sukkah can only do that if it's got 4 walls. That simple. He just says, the pasuk describes sukkah protecting you. If a sukkah protects you, it's got to have 4 walls, otherwise it's not offering very much protection. Well, if the 4th wall is a tefach, it's probably not offering that much protection either, but that's halachah l'moshe m'sinai. The pasuk tells us about 4 walls. Halachah l'moshe m'sinai shrinks the last one. So the pasuk clearly tells us about a structure that has 4 walls. What do you think my last main point is going to be? 5 explanations of the machlokas whether a sukkah needs 2 plus. What?
We skipped the one about mechitzen. We have only one for this
house. Yeah, this is going to be number 2. Yeah, I have 2. I'm that good. I could summarize the whole daf in 2 points. So, as long as I skip liberally. Okay, the second main point is. Yeah, it's really like 5 points, yes. The machlokas, whether the amount of walls you need for a sukkah is 2 plus a little or 3 plus a little, has 5 explanations. Or, put into more proper English, there are 5 explanations of the machlokas, whether a sukkah needs 2 plus a little or 3 plus a little. A. See, it's not number 3, it's A. A is Yeshem Lemikra, Yeshem Lemisares. And by now, that's like at the tip of your tongue, you know exactly what that means. They're arguing about Yeshem Lemikra, Yeshem Lemisares. B. Am I going too fast? So, what? B. They're arguing about Schach Ba'ikra or Schach Lo Ba'ikra. Do you need one of the walls in the pasuk to refer to the schach or not? Schach ba'i or schach lo ba'ikra? Do you need one of the walls in the pasuk to be talking about schach or not? C. Is the halach l'moshe m'sinai adding or shrinking? Is it adding an additional wall or shrinking the last wall? Anyone want to take a stab at D and E? I feel like I'm working too hard here. Oh, nobody? What? You could cheat. The Gemara's right in front of you. D. You raise your hand? I'll assume yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They both say, Allah Holmes Mishinai, and.
Yeah, tell me what they're arguing about. That, yeah? You're right. You're going through the whole cheshbon. But what's the bottom line? What are they arguing about?
They're arguing about,
excellent. They argue about whether you darshan the first time a word appears in the Torah or in the Parsha. Darshan tchilos or not. Do you darshan that first pasukas? And finally, the fifth one isn't really an explanation of the machlokas, just explains one side, is that Rabbi Shimon thinks the pasuk tells you need 4 walls. Rabbi Shimon thinks he's got a pasuk that tells you need 4 walls. And with that, we're going to go Daf and Marv. That concludes Daf Vav Be'ezrat Hashem. I will see you all tomorrow, and then again, several more times, and then again next Wednesday night.